Young with two, lets it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up, this is Nick Young, Swaggy T, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. We're going to talk NBA basketball for this particular segment. Last night, there was a monumental game as far as the Western Conference playoff picture shapes, and the Houston Rockets and the Dallas Mavericks going toe-to-toe. Dallas, the home squad, they get the 88-86 win. Right now, as it stands, the Utah Jazz would be the 8th seed in the West. Just a game behind Dallas, they're a game above Houston. As it stands now, Houston owns a tiebreaker over the Jazz, and Utah and Dallas, the tiebreaker comes down to a matchup next week between the two teams. Joining us to talk NBA and more, we have Jamison Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jamison, what a fun time for the NBA.
Oh, it's a great time. The final week of the season's here, a lot of tiebreaker scenarios, final games, all this and that. A lot of good stuff to talk about, playoffs starting about 9 days. Can't wait for it to come to fruition, but yeah, it's a great time.
Let's start by talking about the Jazz. They'll return to KOAL here tomorrow night when they take on the Los Angeles Clippers. That's a tough game for Utah. The Clippers have already clinched a playoff spot. They've hit the 50-win mark after knocking off the Lakers last night. Utah is in desperate need of at least winning three out of the final four. That may not even be good enough to get into the postseason, depending on what Houston does. But the Jazz need a win tomorrow night against the Clippers. And Jamison, I'm not quite sure they match up well with the Clippers, but as it boils down, it's crunch time for a very young team.
They don't really match up well with the Clippers. They have some matches that are okay, but that point guard spot, of course, is just a bad situation. The one thing I'm looking at is this. The Clippers may not play their full guys. They may rest their guys. They're pretty much sewn into that fourth spot. They're going to play whoever's fifth. They can't move up to catch OKC. They can't go down. They're in the fourth spot. They can rest some guys because, remember, they played Chris Paul and J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan a lot of minutes when Blake Griffin was out. So they can rest guys. So there's no guarantee that the Clippers will have their full squad tomorrow night. So if the Clippers rest guys, the Jazz probably get an easy win, and that helps them going forward. We'll see what happens with the standings and whatnot. But that's something that could happen. Not saying it's going to, but there's a great possibility of it happening, especially with a veteran team like the Clippers. But the Jazz have to pretty much win all these games out. They got to make it. I mean, you're playing for your playoff lives every night, so you got to find a way to win. I will say this. The Jazz give teams a lot of problems because of their style. They slow the game down. They play pretty good defense. The biggest problem with them is their offense. Their offense is so bogged down that they can't really score 25 to 30 in a quarter repeatedly. They may be able to get one, but they can't get two or three. A lot of the better teams in the Western Conference can get multiple 25-plus quarters if need be, and they can't do that at this time.
You look at the final four games for the Jazz, home against the Clippers, at Denver on Sunday, home against Dallas on Monday, of course, highlight that game, and then you wrap up the season on the road against the Lakers next Wednesday. Again, if the Jazz went out, they get into the postseason, and I say that they probably should look to win all four because Houston's schedule towards the end is very favorable. Houston will play four teams that are under 500, and then you look at the Dallas Mavericks and how this team ends the season. Dallas has a little bit more difficult schedule, I think, than both Utah and Houston if players are playing. Memphis obviously has something to play for. The Clippers, that game is on Sunday. Again, we don't know what Clipper team we're going to see. Monday, Dallas gets the Jazz, and then they wrap up the season against San Antonio at home. The Spurs will not be playing everybody. We know that for a fact. That's just not the way Popovich rolls. So it really is going to it's coming down to it, Jamison. It's almost hard to predict at this point.
It's very hard to predict. You know, you just don't know what teams are going to do, you know, in terms of rest and whatnot. But I will say this, you know, when it comes down to these kind of, you know, last few days of the season, crazy things happen. You know, very few things that people expect, you know, start to take place. So it would not surprise me to see a team under 500 catch Houston. Like, for instance, it would not surprise me if Minnesota or Sacramento beat Houston in the last week or so. It wouldn't because both of those teams, yeah, they're not in the playoffs, but they're playing. They're playing pretty well, you know, all day to sit around this time. So it would not surprise me to see anything crazy happen. Because last week of the season, players are playing. Remember, there's a lot of guys playing for that next contract somewhere else. It may not be with the team they're on, but they're playing, and scouts are always watching. So it would not surprise me to see a team that we don't expect to get, Houston or Dallas or Utah. It would not surprise me. Even the Lakers on Wednesday night next week, it's going to be a very interesting game, emotional game. a lot of things going on in that game. It wouldn't surprise me if the Lakers win that game. And, you know, those are things that happen that you have no control over.
Let's talk about Houston here for a second. They lose last night a game that was right there for the taking. They only scored 15 points in the fourth quarter in last night's loss. I'll tell you one thing I have a problem with when I take a look at Houston, and I've been very critical of Dwight Howard over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years here on the show. But Michael Beasley is taking more shots than Dwight Howard. And to me, that's just completely inexcusable. And I don't know if James Harden's to blame for that. I don't know if it's Bickerstaff. I don't know if it's the flow of the offense. But Jameson, this just can't happen right now. Dwight goes 7 of 9. It was an efficient night for him from the field. He ends up with 14 points and 16 boards. And you were talking about a stale offense in the Jazz. Look, this Houston Rocket team scoring 86 points, that just can't happen.
Well, there's a lot of issues in Houston. I think it starts with the front office. Whenever you bring in a guy like Michael Beasley in the middle of the season, something's not going right with you. I like Michael Beasley, but you know that's not the guy you want to be leaning toward to be your savior in the middle of March. That's just not the guy. But you know, there's a lot of issues there. You know, you have an interim coach there. You have a star player, James Harden, that's not really a leadership type guy for his own team. So there's really not a whole lot that's going on. Pretty much, you throw the ball out there, and guys are playing. Dwight, unfortunately, is in a situation where there's a lot of guys that like to get shots up, and he's not the primary focus of the offense. He might be the third or fourth option of the offense on any given night, and that's not what he signed up for. But he had to see it coming, though, because he's never been the offensive guy in Houston.
Again, James.
He's been the primary guy. So he had to see this coming. But I do agree with you. There's no way that Michael Beasley should be getting up more shots, and you know other guys on that roster should be getting up more shots. That shouldn't happen at all.
Again, Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, our guest right now. Jameson, let's transition over to the East. Why not? I mean, the top of the standings in the East, somewhat boring. Cleveland has pretty much solidified the one spot. Toronto right behind them, pretty much solidifying the number two spot. Then it gets interesting. Atlanta at 46-32 in the three spot, tied with Boston. Only a half game behind is Miami at 45-32. A game behind is Charlotte at 45-33. And then you have Indiana and Detroit, 42 wins each. And Chicago and Washington on the outside looking in. And it looks like we can close the curtain on the season for Chicago and Washington. Chicago may be the most talented team not to make the postseason in quite some time. But the East, 3-8, very interesting right now. This is a fun race to watch as well.
Well, the East is always fun, man, because you have a lot of teams that are but they're always battling. Every year in the East, there's always some race at the end. I think we know who's going to be the playoff teams in the East. I think Detroit's going to get that eighth spot. Looks like Chicago's not going to make the playoffs. But that 3-6, I think is a lot of stuff going on, because it changes every night. Like, literally every game, every night, it changes. So 3-6 is going to be interesting. The one team I'm looking out for is the Hornets. I actually like the kind of brand of basketball they're playing. I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. I really don't. But it would not surprise me for them to advance to the second round. It wouldn't shock me. They play a pretty good brand of basketball. Their offense is a lot better this year. They're still a really good defensive team. And I like them. I like them. The Heat are a boom or bust team. The Heat are a team that they can lose in the first round in five, or they can go to the conference finals and be playing in game seven. Like, that's their window. That's what they can do. So who knows during it with them. The Hawks, we don't really trust them that much. But that 3-6 is very, very entertaining. A lot of different things going on there. But at the end of the day, I still think we get Cleveland, Toronto in the conference finals.
Let's get one thing clear in the East right now. I agree with you. I think we get Cleveland and Toronto as well. But nobody in the Eastern Conference is playing lights-out basketball at this point in time, which is why I actually like you picking the Charlotte Hornets to maybe shake things up. It's not out of the equation that even a team like Detroit could give Cleveland some problems in the first round, because, again, nobody is playing lights-out basketball in the East. It's all been fairly even kill, 6-4 over the last 10 games playing .500 basketball.
Well, my thing is this. In the East, everybody's kind of playing choppy basketball. People are resting players. You know, it's the dog days of the year, so it's a little different. But at the end of the day, Cleveland's still the best team, no matter what happens, no matter who's playing what. If, you know, in the playoffs, it's a different game, and you got LeBron James, who's the best player in the Eastern Conference, and he takes his game up to another level in the playoffs. So, you know, the Cavs are number one. Who's going to step up and be number two is a greater question, because I think Toronto's going to be that team, and we've talked about this many times. I just don't know. I don't know what we're going to get from them. I hope they turn the corner, but you never know. So we'll see what takes place. We'll see what happens. You know, Boston's a team that's interesting. I don't know if their style works come playoff time, but they're a very interesting team as well to keep an eye on. It's going to be very interesting to see this. There's a team that's going to step up and do some things that we don't expect in the East. There's going to be somebody out there, whether it's Boston, Charlotte, maybe even Atlanta. I don't know. But there's going to be a team out in the East that does something we don't expect. It could be Detroit pushing Cleveland to 6 or 7. It could be. So we've just got to take a look. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be. I think there's more fun in the Eastern Conference this year than in the West.
I'll say this, moving away from playoff contention, we're down to the final 6 days of Kobe Bryant's career in the NBA. Starting to set in, Jameson. We're saying goodbye to a legend. It's always said, it doesn't matter what sport we're talking about when we get to this point. I know we have a lot of NASCAR fans that listen to the show, and it wasn't that long ago we said goodbye to Jeff Gordon. We've said goodbye to Derek Jeter, Peyton Manning. We're getting set to say goodbye to David Ortiz. It's always sad when a legend who has been a mainstay in his sport and shown a level of excellence the way Kobe or a David Ortiz or a Jeff Gordon has over the last, you know, 2 decades. It's so unique, and now we're down to the final 6 days of his career.
Man, it's we're getting old. We're getting old, man. I'll be 30 next in a couple months, and I remember Kobe's first game. I remember his preseason game. I remember when he broke his wrist at Venice Beach playing basketball. Before the season started. So, there's a lot of things about this situation that's just very, very weird. But at the same time goes on, man. You just gotta appreciate someone's career. Playing that long, playing at a high level for that long, and what he's accomplished. Very special player, one of a kind. He's done it his way. He's been through a lot in the league, but he's the guy that all these young players look up to. All these guys in the league that are playing that are great players, from Westbrook to Durant to all these guys, like Eaton Harden, all those guys, like he's the guy they idolize. So it's crazy to kind of see how things have kind of changed and turned. He's there. Like Dwayne Wade said, he's their Michael Jordan. He's their guy. For a guy like Dwayne Wade to say that, who kind of came in 5 or 6 years after, he said what? Because Dwayne Wade's a very good player in his own right. And for him to say that, it's pretty impressive right there.
Jameson, before I let you go, I know you're a busy man. You're all over the place right now. And, of course, we're a part of the Triple Threat podcast every weekend. We do that with Jabari Davis. So there's a lot of content out there. The listeners are always looking for something. I know at this stage you get set for the playoffs. Where can we find more Jameson Welsh?
Man, I'm pretty much, like you said, I'm everywhere, man. Locally, I'm in Vegas. I'm on the score 6:70 a.m. a couple times a week. At your show, of course, 13:40 a.m. with Steve Morstein out in New Mexico, and just different outlets. You just got to follow me on Twitter and whatnot. But you can find me around. It's always a busy time around this time.
Always great to talk to you, Jameson. I know we'll catch up again next week when the playoff picture is a little bit more clear. Hopefully we're talking about some more basketball for the Utah Jazz, but I look forward to talking with you then.
Not a problem. Thanks for always having me. Definitely appreciate it.
We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we'll put the final touches on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports here on AM 750 and 103.9 FM.